I love to pray for you. I love to, even when I'm speaking to you or standing up here with Clay, I've had many people say, what are you doing up there? It looks like you're looking through my soul. What I'm doing is praying for you. I'm looking in your eyes, and I'm calling that true self forward, and I'm praying for the Lord to meet you in your deepest heart. And whether you need a seed implanted, or you need fertilization, or you need to be dug up a bit, or if you need more sunlight, whatever it is, may the Holy Spirit do that in your soul. That is my main heart cry in the body of Christ. And we all have different gifts, and they come and they flow, and there are some seasons for this and some seasons for that, but we're to be good in all of them. We are to stand in the authority of our true self and move in the gifts of the Spirit. They're incarnational, and they're given for the edification of the body of Christ. They're given to be given away. They're not given to make you look good. They're not given to for you to form my character by my gifts. You know, character is determined by fruit, not gifts. What's the fruit of the Spirit? The first one, love. And then out of love grows all the other fruits of the Spirit. Papa, we thank you so much for the opportunity to gather in a nation freely to meet together and proclaim you King and Lord, to lift you up and honor you and bless you and gather together to become more like you, to seek your face, to grow in our walk in the Spirit, to become true disciples and true persons as sons and daughters. And again, Father, please, dear, dear, precious Papa, nothing matters if it's not from your heart. So speak through me your heart in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk a little bit before lunch, and just a little bit, we've only got about 30 minutes, about self-acceptance. We've talked about, you know, that's what we need. That's one of the things that we need to come into to enter into healing. It's one of the things we need to come into to really change. But what is it? What does it look like? What is the practical, earthy, natural, human-looking makeup of self-acceptance? And that's kind of what I want to talk about. This is kind of like a different vein than what we've talked about throughout the conference, but I think this is part of the equipping that you need to know. What does self-acceptance look like? If I get it, what is it? You know, I remember one lady came up to Clay at a conference. I think it was in Sweden or Switzerland somewhere. He had been in the area, taught on self-acceptance. Then he had done a tour for 3 or 4 weeks and then come back to the area. Well, he had done the self-acceptance lecture on his first round. And when he came back, this lady came up to Clay and she said, I did that self-acceptance thing and it didn't work. You know, you can't do the self-acceptance thing and it work. The self-acceptance is a way of life. It's a way of living. It's coming into a self-forgetfulness. It's coming to a place where you don't always have self on your mind. It's coming to a place where you have peace about who you are and who you are not, and being at peace with that. Self-acceptance isn't how you change your hair or change your body or lose weight or gain weight or put on outward stuff. It's not about that at all. It's about how you look at yourself and how you begin to stand in your true self as a Christian, both in humility and in authority. Okay? The well-integrated man is one who has brought the spiritual, the emotional, and the physical into a harmony. In a healthy man, the spiritual holds the reins over the emotional and the physical levels with complete freedom to direct them for the total good of the personality. That's what I was saying a while ago about the Holy Spirit rules over your spirit, And your spirit rules over your mind, will, body, emotions. Okay? You can choose not to give in to temptation. You can choose how you're going to direct your day mentally up here. I love Joyce Meyer's book, Battlefield of the Mind. I can't remember. Battlefield of the Mind, I think. If you haven't read that, you need to read that book. It's a great book. And it has to do with this portion of self-acceptance. The hierarchical order of reality is from the inside out. You don't change on the outside. It's from the inside out. This is why, if you've never made confession, you need to let these things come up and out into the light of Christ and make a confession of what has been done to you, the sin against you, and make a confession. That's not repentance. That's only the beginning of it. But you must make a true confession. That's the beginning of repentance. It's only by harmonizing in Christ all the levels of our human makeup that we can build a balanced personality and develop a sound and stable spiritual life. Okay? Like I said, I'm trying to paint a picture that you can grasp on the human level of what this looks like. Okay? Real dignity for man depends upon the quality of his interior life, a life which opens out onto the infinite. See, everything in our culture screams the opposite. You know, we've got mastery over all the electronic stuff. We got the, I can't even name all the junk that's out there. I mean, all the electronic stuff. What has happened, we don't master it as much as it masters us. You know, it's like with the sound. I mean, when the sound goes out, what do? I mean, it's ridiculous how much our lives are controlled by these things. Freedom comes from the inner release unto the Lord. That's where freedom comes from. The real dignity of man does not depend on what he does, but rather what he is. What you do should be the fruit of what you are. And so often it's performance that goes out first, so it gives the appearance of what we hope we are. Okay? Take time for becoming someone. Go into that prayer closet, shut the door, take the time to do it. You can't do it at a red light. You can't do it running here and running there. If you want it, you can take time for it to happen. You'll make it happen. The picture of, was it Wesley's mother, Susanna, she had house full of kids, 18? Lord have mercy. 18 children. But every one of those kids knew that when the apron went up over her head, she was with Jesus. You don't bother mama. Now, if a woman with 18 kids can do it, you can do it. And guys, let me tell you, you can do it. At the profoundest level of his personality, each man is haunted by the desire for perfection. Only grace can bring man to authentic fulfillment, for only grace can transform him completely in Christ. Have you ever read that scripture, be perfect as I am, as Jesus, be perfect as I am perfect? What he means is keep going towards your completion because you will be completed. That's what that's about. You are being perfected from changing from glory to glory. To accept yourself as you are demands that you see your real situation and make a humble offering of yourself to God. You must learn to be yourself. We are not cookie cutter Christians. We are all unique We are all special. We are not all to have the same message. We are not all to have the same gifts. We are not all to look alike or sound alike, but we are all to manifest the fruit of the Spirit in our own unique manifestations of that. And that knits us together. I need what you have. There are things that I don't have I need from you. There are things that you don't have that I can give you, or that your neighbor can give you, or that somebody else can give you. That's how the body of Christ fits together in a community. We need to learn to be ourselves and not try to be like somebody else. You must acknowledge and accept your limitations. Have you ever set a goal and it was just too much of a goal? It was like over the top and you were so disappointed. What I mean by accepting your limitations is in Christ knowing, you know, I'm never going to be a PhD. I am never going to be able to recover my lost childhood and relive it. I can have healing for it, but it's not going to be recoverable. I am never going to be able to reconcile completely with my parents because my dad's died or my mom's died. Limitations are the limitations that God and you together set for you. And they may be different than your neighbors. They may be different than your husband or wife. Each one of us has certain limitations. One of the limitations I chose was I chose not to go to Fuller and get my degree. I chose to marry Clay. And by far, I'm the more blessed because of that. But that's a limitation that I know I have, and I'm absolutely happy with that limitation. I didn't go that any further in my education, and I don't have any desire to go any further, even though I could. That's not where the Lord has me. Oop, my earring, I forgot. Sorry.
She could have got a PhD and supported me.
Limitations in the fact, job-wise, maybe you have been qualified for such and so a job, but the Lord's got you over here, not there. That's a limitation that you accept for yourself. A pastor being called to two churches, a big, powerful one with a name and a little country one with no name. And God says, the small one. And so your limitation is, I'm choosing that limitation. Do you see what I'm saying by limitations? It's something that you and God together, because you are obeying Him and because you know that He knows better than you what you need to become into your true self, to become who you really are in Christ, that you accept the limitations that God puts on your life. You know, Clay and I, when we first married, we married late. I was married before. I was in a marriage where there was alcoholism, and he left me and the kids. And Clay and I wanted kids. We wanted to have not just yours, mine, and ours, but ours.
We wanted 18.
Clay may have wanted 18. One of the limitations that we had to accept was that's not going to happen, not from our own bodies. But look what He's given us. We have spiritual children all over the place. We've got 6 grandchildren from the kids we do have. Do you see what I mean? The limitations are part of your growth. It's part of your self-acceptance. Yes, Lord, my sights are here. Yes, Lord, my capabilities are here. Yes, Lord, I've set my goal here. But you can interrupt and change it any way you want. And I will accept that limitation that you put, because it's not truly a limitation, is it? It's really a redirection of your life. Lift up your head and say yes to reality. Recognize, accept, and offer your possibilities for development as well. At the same time that you accept your limitations, you also accept those things that you can't even think or imagine. You leave your heart open enough to dream big and not be disappointed, But let God fill in the picture of what that dream is. Lord, whatever you want, I'll do it. Whatever you want, I'll be it. Wherever I'm to be, I'll be there. Accept your gifts and use them. Accept yourself also in relation to others. Don't be jealous or envious. Don't worry about what others think. Don't seek to live somebody else's life. Don't wear masks. Be yourself. And I love this statement. You're robbing others to pretend you're what you're not. You're robbing others to pretend you're what you're not. The level of your freedom depends upon whose will you choose to follow. Now, this is so important. Are you going to follow your will? Or are you going to follow God's? Or are you going to follow your neighbor's? What somebody else tells you? Nobody can tell you what the will of God is for your life. A prophet, a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge can only confirm what the Holy Spirit has already spoken in your heart. Nobody, no human can tell you the will of God for your life. And if somebody's given you a word to that effect, put it on the shelf until God tells you about it. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm just saying set it aside until God talks to you about it. Only the Holy Spirit can give you the will He has for your life. Not your husband, not your wife, not your child, not your pastor, not a prophet. Only the Lord Jesus Christ. This is part of the intimacy of this closet, of the prayer closet, going into the sanctuary and shutting the door. Your ability to do the will of the Father is a measure of your level of freedom. Genuine freedom is created by repeated acts of obedience. See how practical this is? You obey, then you've got the fruit to obey again and the strength. Repeated acts of obedience. You're going to find out you've changed. Modern man hasn't time to become aware of himself as a person. He no longer even dares to recollect himself because he would have to face up to his responsibilities and these frighten him. Staying busy gives him the impression that he's still alive and useful. We've got to come in our modern society to a place of stopping and taking time to become our true self in His presence. Yes, you can be with God on the go. Yes, you can be with God in the rush, but you are responsible, not the culture. You are responsible for making space for you and God alone, because I promise you, I don't care how wonderful and mature and godly you are in Christ, if you don't take the time to spend time with God, you are going to lose your sense of the presence of Jesus. You will burn out. You will starve yourself spiritually, because this walk is intended to be daily manna. Yeah, you can fast, right? Spiritual walking, walking in the Spirit, walking in love is something you need. Fresh manna every day. It's not, I've been there to the healing conference and I got it and I'm okay. No, it's daily nourishment. Daily spiritual time in His presence. I don't mean you've got to X off hours and hours a day and neglect your family, neglect your home, neglect your work. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about if you are seeking and hungering and thirsting to truly be changed into that true person that you are in Christ, you're going to carve that time out that you need to cultivate intimacy with Him and become His beloved and know his whisper and see the twinkle in his eye and feel his breath on your neck and know his presence with you every day. Does it happen like that? No. Is it the same for everybody? No. But the awareness of that, the intimacy of that, the incredible, extravagant love of the Father takes and colors your whole life and changes you. Just day by day, nourishment by nourishment. Become fully human. Assume responsibility for your life. Reflect, evaluate, and decide. Now, every one of those three things is your will, using your mind, your intellect. This is a good part of self-acceptance, where you're walking out in maturity. If your life is imposed upon you from without, you are not mature yet. Assume the direction of your life yourself. Maturity is to continually look at life with complete honesty, to evaluate your real situation as it actually is, and to decide freely to live your own life. Maturity is to continually look at life with complete honesty, to evaluate your real situation as it actually is, and to decide freely to live your own life. Am I going to let this problem shape me? Or am I going to rule over it? Am I going to allow my past hurts and wounds and sins done against me to shape me, to own me, to keep me a slave? Or am I going to overcome evil with good and stand up in my true self and rule over the wounds and hurts? You know, when you get well, those things don't just disappear. They're scars. What did King Arthur do with his scars? Or what did his court do with their scars? His knights would come and sit at the round table in front of King Arthur, and to honor the king, they would take off their armor. Thank you. Take their armor off, and they would expose their scars to honor the king. The song that Clay wrote, "Our Wounds Cry Alleluia," is the same idea. May all that we've come through honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who bought us through them. Coming into maturity can only happen in his presence, in his light, transcending our natural light of reason. We must practice his presence, and this takes concentration on our part. Concentration is not basically a mode of doing, gritting your teeth, hanging in there, but above all, it is a mode of being. Avoid distractions. Limit yourself to the present moment. Never suppress the movement of life. Rather, make use of it when and if you should. In other words, when you go in there to pray and you shut the door and you're in your prayer closet and all this stuff is running, I got such and so to do tomorrow, and I got this deadline at work, and I've got clothes to wash, and oh, the car needs maintenance, and I need to go take care of the dog and the washing machine, and what was that my wife or my husband wanted me to pick up at the store? You know what you do? You just let it all. Just don't suppress it. Just let it all run out, because it'll run out. Don't just get up and think, oh, I can't do this. You don't suppress it. You just let it run down. You know, it's like the example that we always give of, you know, if you're driving out there and, you know, the lights come up behind you and you think, is it me? And your heart starts going, doesn't it? Your blood pressure goes up. But then he flies on by you and you go, But you know, your body doesn't instantly get the message. It takes time for it to settle back down. Same way when we go into our prayer closet. Take time and give your soul, your mind, all of that permission to just run out. And then when you get quiet, then you can really pray, listen, enter in to that quiet place with Him. Give all into the hands of God. When it gets quiet, when all that stuff stops, give all into the hands of God confidently and calmly. Make use of this vital surge of energy as it becomes incarnated with Christ, because the Holy Spirit will help you. Concentration does not mean a frantic attempt to capture and control and squash out these interior movements. It means letting all come up and out to Christ by first of all relaxing. What happens to a lot of us when we try to do this at first? When we relax, we what? We're out. You know why? Because we're running ragged all the time. And when we get still, we're so exhausted, we go to sleep. Okay? If you go to sleep, like Clay said, sleep on his shoulder. But there'll come a place to where you'll be able to relax and enter into this place of communion with Him. After relaxing, offer all to the Father as your gift, calmly. The good, the bad, the ugly, the whole kit and caboodle of who you are. And set aside moments each day for recollection and silence. Recollection and silence. Choose to own your life. Soon it will be under the direction of inner freedom rather than outer necessity. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you see what I'm trying to say? Practical things about something that is so intimate and so personal that only you and God can really do it. I can't give you words to say. I can give you the atmosphere to create so those words can come up out of your heart and you can do it. Where His words can descend into your heart and you can hear them. But you got to get quiet enough to hear them. You say you love God. You say you want God. You say you'll do anything. You know, I want it all. But then you don't take the time to carve out to get quiet enough to hear His voice, because most of the time he speaks in a whisper. He speaks in the quiet. He speaks in little things, little things, little things. And you've got to be ready on the right signal to pick that up. Not that you can't hear Him otherwise. He wants intimacy with you. He wants all of you. He doesn't just want you on the fast track. He wants all of you. Because He made you. He created you. He not only made you and created you, He's your daddy. He's your father. He begets you. He knows you through and through, more than you know yourself. He knows what's best for you. All we have to do is abandon to Him. And it sounds so easy, but it's a lifetime journey. That we need portions every day to get quiet and to do it. Because our problems and our troubles are new every day. Just like His mercies are new every day. Life is not easy. Life is difficult. And the sooner you embrace that fact, it's a good thing. Jesus said, get on the narrow path that leads to life. The wide path leads to destruction. It's harder to walk on a narrow path than a big wide place. I mean, it just is. But the sooner you embrace that, you become careless about everything except your relationship with Jesus Christ. And by careless, I mean it doesn't haunt you. It doesn't haunt you. You're free. You're made free by the Spirit. I wonder if I can do this in 4 minutes. It's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. It's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness. The grace of the present moment is all that we have. The grace of the present moment gives us the framework of the present situation by personally giving us the opportunity to responding to the love of God moment by moment. The present is of such short duration that you don't take much notice of it, yet it alone counts because it alone is in your hands. Not the past, not the future, only now. In fact, the whole of your life is simply a succession of present moments. The present moment is delicate. Handle it with care. It provides only a narrow passage. There's no room for worry. It passes quickly so it won't tire you out. It's a moment pregnant with possibility, but you have to give it direction and meaning. It alone possesses reality, and it alone provides an arena for action. Its opportunities are limitless, for in it we meet Papa. We meet the God of love. Don't shoulder the burden of the past. Refuse to give any consideration to the future simply out of fear. Don't brood over the past. Refuse to be frightened by the prospect of the future. Confidently abandon yourself to God. God will not step through the door of the present moment unless you open it to Him. Practicing the presence is simple if you think about it, and it's the hardest thing you'll ever do. Coming to know Jesus as your Savior is the simplest thing that you can ever do, and it's so much your mind can't contain it. The paradox and the beauty and the incredible mystery of God is part of the journey of accepting the things that we cannot understand, but trusting the hand of the one whose character we know. The mystery of evil and suffering. Clay talked about it a good part of yesterday. There isn't any simple answers. But if you come to receive His love, receive His forgiveness, become His beloved, and begin to heal the relationships around you by forgiving others and loving others, you're going to come to a place of adoring Him without having to understand everything, because we have the assurance, what? That we're going to know Him face to face. He's told us that. If He's told us that, why do we keep screaming out, why? Why can't I know? I want to understand. Why did it take all this time to get here? Why didn't such and so happen back? Why did that have to happen? You stop asking the why questions and you start asking the what questions. What now can I be and do? What can I become now in the light of your grace? In the light of your presence. What now? Show me, Papa. Show me, Papa. I want beauty from ashes, Lord. I want to be a different person than I am. I want to really change, and I want those root issues in me dealt with, not in the way of the world, but in the way of you, Father God, dealing with those issues. And you will show me in the secret place of the Most High. You will show me inside as I'm against the feathers of your presence. You will be the one that speaks to me, the real God, and speaks to me, the real me. Because I choose to put myself in your presence. I choose courage. I choose to take the time to get back close to you if I've wandered away. I choose to take the time to become someone. And I choose the journey. If it takes another 10 years or 20 years, or if it takes a moment, you know best, Lord. But I'm on the journey towards you. I don't want to wear personas anymore. I don't want the outer shell to stay in place while my true man is hiding in there somewhere where I don't even know who I am. I want the outer shell of my false self to break open. And I want my true self to rise up even in my brokenness and begin this journey of walking out in obedience. How are we healed? We're all healed the same way. Obedience in His presence. Obedience in His presence. Step by step. How many of you have seen What About Bob? Baby steps. Baby steps. Baby steps. You know, Clay and I can't watch that very often.
I thought it was a horror movie.
It's baby steps. It's one step at a time. It's one day at a time. This is why 12-step programs and all these kind of, they're so successful because we need that. We need the disciplines. This is why I referred you to the other sets about change that we've got on the table. How do we really change? It's a teaching on the vices and virtues and how to overcome the vices with the virtues. It's how to walk in the discipline of the Lord, which is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But if you have been deformed by wrong discipline, if you have been maligned in your human spirit by that, that's a scary word. But it's a word of life. Obedience is an invitation to life. Let's stand. I want y'all, I know this is real childlike, but that's what we're supposed to be. Just lay your hands just right on the center of yourself, either, you know, wherever you think the center of your person is. Just lay hands on yourself. I said this one time in a conference, and there were some Catholic nuns on the back row, and this one little lady just jumped up and just, she did this. It was just beautiful, you know. It just right off the top of her head. But anyway, I just saw that picture. And I want to pray into your very being. And you're cooperating with this prayer by laying hands on yourself. Just be childlike and do it. Nobody's looking at you. Don't you hate people when they tell you to do stupid stuff like this? But believe me, it's childlike. Do you think Naaman felt good going down to the Jordan and dipping 7 times to get well? Do you know how demeaning that could be to your human dignity if you're in your false self? We've got to become like little children sometime. I believe in this prayer with all my heart that as your hand is a physical manifestation of your heart, which you're covering, your inner heart, your true man, your true spirit, that this prayer is going to go into your inner man. Papa, in the name of Jesus, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, with all that you've enabled me to do, with the invitation and the equipping, I ask now that you impart and download and to your sons and daughters the truth they need to hear, not from my words, but from the words that were from you that came through my mouth, that are calling up your words in their heart, O Lord. And may they come to full fruition in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, for your glory alone. Amen. 2 Corinthians 1. And this truth is coming out of verses 8 through 11. And let me just read all the scriptures to you, and then I'm going to tell you the nugget I believe the Lord has for us in these scriptures. This is Paul talking to the Corinthians. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, even in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. And what the Lord spoke to my heart so strongly from those scriptures is why we have to go through hardships. I've never seen it before. And it's, we go through hardships so that we might not rely on ourselves. We go through hardships so we come to rely not on ourselves to carry us through them, but we come to rely on God to carry us through them. And this is exactly what we've been talking about. How do we really change? We learn not to rely on ourselves. We learn to rely on Papa, God Almighty. We learn to let the outer shell crack. And we learn by and through our hardships that God who raises the dead, as the death to our wrong view of God dies and the death of our false self dies, we will be resurrected by coming to rely on God. Isn't that good news?
Yeah.
That's great.